and welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Fiona. And today it is episode 4 in our weekly conception to production summer season.
Hurrah!
Hope you've been enjoying it so far. This week, it's Lindsay Harris-Friel of Jansaksa Rising.
Yes, it's so exciting. And if you would like to know more about any of the issues or contact us about how excited you were to also listen, please feel free to pop us an email on podcast@audiodrama.com. Right.
No, it's podcast@audiodramaproduction.com. Okay.
Well done. I try to say these. I can't get it right, Fiona.
And once you've had a look at all the production notes and the links to Jansaksa Rising, then do head along to thepodcasthost.com for more wonderful resources on how to make your own audio drama. Absolutely invaluable.
Yes, or just tweet us, because we love your tweets, don't we?
Oh, we love a good tweet,
and we love you. You're doing it now. Stop it. At Yap Audio, it would be lovely to hear from you. And hopefully you'll enjoy this lovely chat. Hello, I have the amazing Lindsay Harris-Friel with me today. Hello, Lindsay.
Hello, Sarah. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's very exciting to speak to you. I have a slight feeling of deja vu.
So do I. I have a slight feeling of deja vu as well.
How exciting. Well, can you explain to anyone listening, if they don't know you, what you do in this wonderful world of podcasting?
Well, I am one of the producers of 6630 Productions, and I am the writer of Jansaksa Rising, which is not spelled like it sounds if you try to Google it. It's Jansaksa Rising. Yeah, that is what I do. I am the writer. Jansaksa Rising is so far we have one season. It's a 10-part audio drama. It's about Norse deities working out their problems with each other, working out their grudges and dealing with Ragnarok and who's going to start it and who's going to finish it, but they're doing it via manipulating humans that live in this corporate dystopia future. And it all centers on sort of the winter solstice of 2094, which is the next time we'll have a full moon on the winter solstice. So so that's what that's about.
And cool, so it can leap from different timelines into past and future. I really love that about it. If you haven't heard it, then jump on now and please do have a look, because I know you'll be entertained. I think it's a wonderfully written and exciting show to listen to. So
thank you so much for saying that. I really appreciate it.
Well, no, it's really good fun. And so can you just let us know then? So if as the writer, where did the initial idea come from?
Well,
what kind of drove you to write this?
Sure. What happened was, I'm a playwright, and I sort of needed a new thing to write about, and I was sort of coming up dry. And I said to a friend of mine who is a director in Minneapolis, my friend Karen Bratley, who is the artistic director of Theater Pro Rata in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I said to her one night online on social media, I said, I'm bored, give me something to write about. And she said, okay, what if sometime in the far distant future, explorers are sent to a abandoned wind farm on a small island in the Baltic, and they're sent there to investigate some strange energy surges that are coming from this abandoned island, and hijinks ensue.
What a great and imaginative starting point.
I know.
That she just came up with off the cuff. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So where did you go from there?
Well, from there, what I did was I said, okay, you're on, and I started doing research about the Baltic and about the islands in the Baltic. And there's a little archipelago of islands called the Åland Islands. It's spelled A-A-L-A-N-D. And they're a nation unto themselves. They are, you know, they're totally worth Googling and looking up and probably visiting. I've never been there. But one of the things...
Let's go road trip.
Yeah, road trip. But they're very beautiful. And they have a slightly peculiar history, and one of the things about the islands is that they're known for beets, cows, and iron.
Okay, awesome. Yes.
And there's abandoned iron mines there. So I started thinking, okay, iron, that feels really Norse. What do we know about iron and Vikings?
Yep.
So I started looking that up, and then I found out that Jansaksa is sort of like the, you know, unsung secret heroine of Norse mythology. She's sometimes called Thor's other wife. She's sometimes called Thor's mistress.
Other woman.
But she is, yeah, but the other, but the thing is her name literally translated means iron blade. And I thought, well, you know, we're talking about wind farming. We're talking about windmills and wind turbines. That's how perfect is that? And Karin said, well, clearly you two.
It's meant to be.
Yeah, she said, clearly you two were meant to meet. So, yeah, so I started writing that. I wrote this story as a play. It felt like a Doctor Who episode. It, I had these ideas about puppets, you know, the like physical puppets and sort of Bunraku and this manipulation of people by the gods.
Sounds amazing.
And then, yeah, and but it had a stage reading in Philadelphia, and people weren't that into it because it didn't fit into a simple, neat, stageable package.
More for them, yes.
And then over time, I was like, well, you know what? Maybe a podcast would be a good way to do this. And I talked to Karin, and she talked to her theater company and said, what do you guys think about this? And they did a reading. And it resonated a lot in Minneapolis because there's a lot of Scandinavian ancestry in Minneapolis.
Really? Yeah. Scandinavians. Yes.
So they were, so they were really into it. And I'm Danish, but I have I'm of Danish descent, but I have like...
I am too.
Are you really? Great.
That's exciting.
Oh, wonderful.
I honestly...
That's wonderful. No, my mom is Danish, but they have very... it's like, I don't have a whole lot of connection to it. And my visits to Minneapolis have been, you know, they've made me be like, oh, this is cool. So anyway, she and I, you know, did some scheming, and I did a lot of rewriting. And because what I had was about a 2-hour script, which felt like, oh, well, I can break that pretty easily into episodes. Okay. So we did some scheming, and then we did some casting. And then finally I had a script that felt like 10 episodes.
Right. Awesome.
And then we flew out to Minneapolis. We had all of our recording gear in 2 carry-on bags. So just to give you an idea, we're going through, you know, the TSA screening and, you know, Philadelphia International Airport. And they say, can you open up your bags, please? Yep. So my husband unzips his bag and there's a soundboard in it. And they just went, okay, great. You can go.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah. I open up my bag. It's all cables and microphones. They're just like, okay, have a nice flight. Yep.
No clothes. Oh, yeah. No toothbrush.
Oh, no. Well, they have Target in Minneapolis.
Make pajamas out of cables.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Okay. Right. I was going to wear the cables. It was going to be great.
Beautiful.
So, yeah.
I'm sure you can be a lovely dress.
Oh, yeah. The only thing we had that we couldn't bring was music stands and microphone stands. And borrowed those in town. I mean, everybody there was very generous, not just, you know, in terms of their time and energy, but also like, oh, I have that.
Awesome.
Oh, you need this? I have that.
Sounds like a lovely place.
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. So we flew out, and then we did about 4 nights of rehearsal. And during the day, I rewrote.
Okay.
We had a dramaturg, Kit, who loves to do research and loves, you know, Norse mythology and Scandinavian heritage. So she was very helpful.
Now, can I just ask you, I studied dramaturgy in Aarhus University for a short while.
Oh, lovely.
But if you can just tell people what a dramaturg is in case they don't know.
Sure. Well, a dramaturg is somebody who, they do a couple of things. They are an advocate for the script, not just not the writer, not the director, but the script. And they're the person who can see the script objectively. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, let's say you're doing a play that takes place in, you know, 18th century Russia, and people are drinking tea, they'll do the research to find how people put the sugar in their tea or how they, you know, what typically gets served with their tea.
Yeah.
So that you know the difference between tea the way you normally serve it and tea the way the characters in your play would be drinking.
Yeah. So it's authenticity, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, definitely. But they also do things like they look at the script objectively as you're writing and say, hey, listen, this isn't balanced, or the pacing here is dragging, or something like that. So they're an advocate for the script. So Kit was absolutely incredibly valuable for that. Karin is a very good director too, but as a very good director, she's good at delegating. So I think it was that Kit wanted to be involved and Karin wanted her to be involved. And you know, and Kit is a whiz with research too. So she was with us.
Sounds like an awesome team. Yeah, what a luxury to have that kind of, help,
We also got very lucky because the guy who plays Loki has done a lot of study of Scandinavian language. So he was able to help us with dialects. Mm. He was able to help us with pronunciation. He did the dialect training.
Oh, super.
So he was a great resource too. Ethan Bjelland, he was just a great resource to have on the project. Mm.
Fantastic. So you've got the crew together, you've done some rehearsal. How much input in rehearsal time with the actors did you have as the writer alongside the director?
Well, we had the 4 nights. Oh, well, the other thing that was good was when we did the casting, we had people who indicated interest and were available. We talked with them and they sent us, they sent me actually resumes and headshots, and I asked them to send me just a recording, like whether it was a YouTube video or an audio file or something of them speaking, reading a poem, telling a joke, telling a story, something like that, singing a song, whatever they had, something that gave
me... So not text-bound, just give them flavor of their acting.
Well, a flavor of their acting and a flavor of them, too. As I was writing, it gave me, I know a little bit more about what this character sounds like now. But it was also, I know what this person can do.
Yeah, fantastic.
So it gave me some inspiration, but I'm not with them every day, so I'm not shackled to it. I have I get a little sample of what they're like, and that lets me expand the character.
Fantastic. Yeah. So they basically kind of through the rhythms and things that they'd shown you already, you kind of fed that into the script. Mm-hmm. So you got to your 4 rehearsal days. What changes kind of were implemented in that short time before record?
I'm trying to think. We simplified a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What we did was we...
So when you say simplified, you mean cut?
I'd like to say cut, but see, here's actually my... rather than say cut, I like to think condense. Because... like we had scenes that were, it wasn't that they were too long, it was that they were unwieldy. And you can sort of like back off from the scene. It's like you know the scene, you know what you wrote. Then you sort of take a step back, walk away from it, shake your head, and then say, if somebody said to you, tell me what the scene is about, you tell them very quickly. And then it's like making the haiku version it's like taking a sonnet and making it into a haiku, like the highly concentrated version of what you're trying to do in that scene.
I think that's a brilliant exercise to try and do as well, too.
Yeah.
I do find a lot of the podcasts that I do listen to would really benefit from a process like that, just to bring it down just that little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Oh, yeah. Just take all the air out of it. Take all the water out of it. Just compress it down to its basic elements. I find it's a painful exercise, but it's one of my favorites is to, when you need to cut something, you reread what you wrote. Walk away from it. Like literally physically get up and walk around for a while and then sit down. Mm. And without looking at what you wrote before, write it again.
Ah, okay.
And the things that aren't essential, you'll forget.
Yeah.
And the things that are essential, you'll remember.
Great plan.
So... yeah, less a cut, more of a condense. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so we had the four nights, and I wrote all day during the week, and then the recording was great. What it was that I don't want to say the name of the hotel chain, but the hotel room had a big, like a quilted padded headboard over the bed, which gave us like a perfect.
Yes.
I don't want to say sounding board, but
a baffle, really, isn't it? Yeah, perfect.
Bingo.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. Yeah. And the room is hotel rooms are great for recording because, first of all, a hotel wants your room to be not heard in other rooms. They want whatever's going on in your room to be not audible in other rooms.
Yep.
And you have carpeting and you have a nice soft bed with big pillows and everything. And the room ends up being a really good recording environment
To entice people to go and rent some hotel rooms for an hour or two to do their projects.
That is exactly right. Please do it. So we were talking to the bartender, and I said to him, so we're going to be recording a podcast in our hotel room. And he was like, oh, that's cool. Kind of like, wow, you people are weird, but okay, I'm interested. And we said, we're going to have people coming and going all day. Do you think the hotel is going to be upset about that? And he said, nah. And I said, I'm afraid they're going to think that we're recording a porn movie. And he said, now, he said, I will say this. He said, the one thing that the hotel industry looks out for is sex trafficking. Okay. Is everybody in your cast of age? And I said, oh, yeah. And he said, yeah, right. Just have them walk in looking totally confident. Like, you know, like, of course I'm supposed to be here and everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, OK. He said, yeah, but they won't care if you're recording a podcast. I'm like, OK, good to know. As long as it's not sex trafficking, which, of course,
which is
incorrigible and horrible. So, yeah. So anyway, so we got everybody there. And what was brilliant was Karen sat in the center of the bed with her headphones plugged into the soundboard and her laptop on her lap so she could read the script, direct the actors, and also work out our schedule. So if we were running a little bit behind, she could tell the people who were supposed to come in to record the next scene, like, hey, we're running about 15 minutes late. Just, you know, stay cool, hang out in the lobby for a while or something like that.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, well, she was, you know, I would say that she was like an eight-armed,
Yeah, yeah. She'd got all things covered.
Oh, she's
covered.
So on it. Yeah, she's so on it. And I mean, I really wish that I wanted to make an outtakes sort of thing with her direction in it. And the problem is that, I mean, it's a good thing. It's a good problem to have. But she was, because she was so centered in the middle of the room, she was far enough away from the mics that we can't hear her direction.
Oh,
so
shame.
Anyway.
Director's cut version, not allowed.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, so then, so we managed, we had scheduled 2 8-hour days to record. Mm. We ended up managing to get everything done in one day.
Wow.
And
so that's all 10,
proud.
10 episodes, sorry, yes. Wow.
Yep, that is exactly right. We were so proud of ourselves.
Amazing.
And then that's, you know, that's where the overconfidence came in. We decided that we were so proud of ourselves, we were going to have a victory party.
Yeah.
So we had a bonfire and
in the hotel room.
And we are never allowed there again. Unfortunately, so much for ever recording a podcast in a hotel room again. It's all fun and games until somebody sets up the bonfire. But yeah, I know. Anyway, so Karen let us have a party at her house. We had a bonfire in the backyard, and Ethan brought Aquavit, which I have never had before.
Oh, it's dangerous. I had four of those at a wedding about a month ago, and I didn't see a few hours of my life.
Yeah.
Skol.
Skol is right, because it makes you really, really friendly and talkative and like, let's solve all the problems in the universe.
Totally.
So then, yeah, so the next day.
You should
day,
start breakfast with that, you know. I think the world would be a better place.
Oh, yeah. And we can all solve all the world's problems.
Totally.
It'll be great.
It'll be lovely.
But anyway, so I get up. So anyway, the next morning I get up, and of course, you know, my head is splitting and I'm starving. So I go to this little market next door to get us something for breakfast. And I had my phone in my purse, but maybe it was, you know, in airplane mode or turned off or something, because I didn't hear the constant stream of text messages that my phone was getting.
Mm-hmm.
And I get some breakfast. I come back to the room. My husband is standing there in the dark holding his phone, looking, his face looked like someone had died. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, you didn't get any of your messages. And I said, what's going on, honey? And he said, we lost episode 6.
No, not episode 6.
No. Yeah, well, episode 6. And the thing is that I had written this so carefully so that in every scene, it wasn't too many people.
Yep.
In the room at once.
Okay.
But episode 6 was the one where it was just unavoidable. We had to have 8 characters. We had to have 8 actors.
Of course it was. Yes, of course that's the one that's missing.
Of course. It couldn't be the one where it was just 2 people. It had to be the one where it was everybody.
Yeah.
So we snapped into action. We called Karen. We told her what was going on. And we're calling everybody. The phone tree snapped into action. We're Facebook messaging people. We're texting everybody. Mm. And we get a hold of everybody. And everybody says, well, you know what? I did make last minute plans, but it's okay. I can change.
Superb.
I'll be there.
Hooray.
Except for the actors who played Yarn Soxa and Thor.
Oh, the main parts then.
Of course. Yeah. It's like the car only needs wheels, you know?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And the two of them are a couple in real life. So we thought, I thought they probably turned off their phones, got in a kayak, rode out into the middle of one of these beautiful Minnesota lakes, and they're sitting on some island somewhere feeding each other wild raspberries and letting the world slip. And I thought, you know, of course, why would they have their phones on? And then about 20 minutes before, I mean, we were at the point where it was, all right, look, we'll give it 15 more minutes. And if we don't hear from them, we're just going to have to find some other way to do this.
Mm-hmm. Gosh.
And all of a sudden we get a call from Yaron Saxo saying, we're on our way home. Ugh. We'll be there.
Wow.
So, yeah, so we get a call. She's on her way. She's, you know, she's got Thor in the car with her, and the two of them are driving as fast as they can to get back to Minneapolis.
Yep.
And we managed to get everybody back in the room at the right time.
Superb.
And we managed to record episode 6. And the other thing that was interesting was, this is just a hotel thing, was I had deliberately, I mean, these are Norse gods. Norse gods do not keep their voices down.
Okay.
But I knew we were, but I knew that we were recording in a hotel room. So I was like, well, let's be sensitive to that. Let's be careful. Let's not blow out anybody's vocal cords. So I deliberately tried to write it in a way that people could express their anger quietly if necessary.
Yep.
And Danish we could way. Add, exactly, right. I know, it's sort of that, oh, yes, well, why don't you just go away? That kind of thing. And then and she was saying, no, I want to scream. I want to scream bloody murder.
Oh.
The information that you've given me on this page means that I have to scream bloody murder. So, and somebody had rented the room next door to us.
Awesome.
And it's 9 o'clock on a Sunday night.
Okay.
And I'm standing out in the hallway just waiting for management to come up to me and say, who are you torturing in that room?
What kind of porno is this?
Exactly. This is the worst porno ever. What kind of bad porno is this? So anyway, we're the porno police. We have standards. So, but everything worked out okay. And then the next morning we got up and we packed up our stuff and we came home and we started the arduous process of editing.
Yes.
So
amazing.
What an
adventure you'd had even to that point.
Oh, yeah.
So brilliant. So post-production on all that excitement. What I love about your podcast is the kind of the musical side of it. It does really bring
you into
the action. And I think, what kind of brand identity did you build around your words as the writer? Because you obviously had a vision and worked alongside Karen and is it Vincent as well as the sound designer? Yeah.
Karen is very, she's really into revenge tragedy, like the Jacobean stuff.
Cool.
And, or at least she was for a very long time. And the original idea was it's a science fiction fantasy revenge tragedy.
Cool. Epic.
This epic. But the thing about revenge tragedy is that revenge tragedy almost has like a perfect recipe if you're familiar with, you know, Hamlet and the Spanish tragedy. It's you know, revenge tragedy has its, you know, if you read something like the Spanish tragedy one of the things that was source material for me as I was going along was the movie The Revengers Tragedy that Alex Cox directed. That one, it's a great, great script. And she was into that. Vince is very into classic sci-fi, like classic Doctor Who, classic original Star Trek. Those were sort of his influences.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted, like, for example, there were some scenes, like when you first see, not see, but hear, when Mjolnir, Thor's hammer, is first presented, he had this piece of music that was very, like, electronica. And he said, well, I want it to sound like Star Trek when they bring in, you know, when they bring in the doomed princess or they bring in the artifact or whatever.
Yes.
And I said, yes, but these are Jotuns out in the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
And they don't have synthesizers.
Totally different flavor.
Yeah. So we were, I'd say we were influenced by a lot of TV sci-fi.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, but that's sort of unavoidable.
Yeah.
And you also sit here going, what am I going to do to make this more of an audio product, you know, more of an audio enjoyment?
Layer it with fun. Yes.
Yeah. So I guess, I don't know, getting back to your original question, like in terms of branding, we were trying, it's hard to have the, it's hard to mix the ancient and the future.
Yes, what a massive challenge.
It's a huge challenge.
You don't make things easy for yourself.
I don't. But then it wouldn't be fun.
No, for sure.
I think that when we do the next season, I'm going to have a big challenge with the look of things, like I want to redo our website and stuff like that. I wanted our website to look like an old book.
Okay. Cool.
I wanted it to look like graffiti. Mm-hmm. But ancient graffiti.
Yep.
And I think I'm going to have to rethink that, because we're still blending the ancient and the modern.
Yeah. Yep.
But, or not the modern, but the futuristic. Yes. And
our imagined potential. Yeah, where we're going. Yeah. 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 Yes.
Yeah. So,
with regards to the sort of post-production elements, what other mm-hmm. things did you come across as potential problems that other people might have that you've overcome in creating the post-prod part of your podcast?
I think that unless you are Rich Wentworth of Hadron Gospel Hour, you I need to make him. The investment. Yeah. Yeah, it to make the investment in a good graphic designer.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because I tried to teach myself, you know, the Adobe suite of mm-hmm. graphic design products, and the tech is beyond me. I think I really need to stick to writing.
Don't put yourself down. I think you've done a grand job. Just have to say.
Oh, thank you. Well, okay. We did get really lucky with one thing, was that a friend of mine, Matt Lichtenmalner, drew mm-hmm. us a very beautiful picture of Yarn Soxa mm-hmm. that we've used in a lot of our elements. And mm-hmm. it's this, you know, this drawing of her as this, you know, listening to a podcast mm-hmm. and with her axe over her shoulder and, yep. you know, the wind blowing her red hair. Yep. And that was all him. He wanted to do it. I said, yeah, please do it. And he did it. And it's gorgeous. And we love it.
Yep.
And I think we need sort of more of that. Maybe, you know, I would recommend, I mean, all of the stuff that we used to promote it was art that was in the public domain.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be better to be more focused.
Yep.
And be able to say, okay, these are the kind of images that we're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is what we want things to look like, because I mean it is a visual world, and yes. and to get people interested in listening to your podcast, you have to show them something.
Sure, because you know, lot of the bits aren't familiar things that we know of now, or maybe we know bits mm-hmm. of Norse mythology, but the future that you're mm-hmm. imagining, yes, if you can kind of yeah. perhaps key those main images in, then yeah. So if you're listening and yeah. you're a designer and you want to get involved, contact yes. them. Do it Hello. Quick. Do it now.
Yes. Yes, but only if you're really good.
Yes.
Well, you know.
All our listeners are awesome at everything they do. It's very exciting.
Of
very
course.
Progressive listeners.
That's why I'm here. So, that's why I listen.
And with the final product then, so you've got now your show in its entirety as you want. You've edited for however many. Mm-hmm. I mean, how long did that process take, the editing process?
Well, we set ourselves a deadline of... And I can't stress strongly enough that setting yourself a deadline mm-hmm. is one of the best things you can do for yourself. Mm-hmm. But because it all takes place on winter solstice on a full moon,
yeah.
we decided that we wanted it to start on something like that. And we found out that there was going to be a lunar eclipse
Ooh.
On the week... I can't remember if it was a weekend. I think it may have been a Sunday night or a Monday night, maybe. But we launched on a night that was, it was either there was a full moon on the fall, the first day of fall. It was the fall equinox.
Yep.
And there was a full moon. And I think there was going to be a lunar eclipse or something like that. So it felt like this is when we should launch.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
yeah,
and we
time.
Said okay,
and we
were also moving towards Halloween, and mm-hmm. you know, there was that possession element to it that we thought was good for October.
Yes.
So yeah, so we went with that, and so that gave us July, August, and a little bit of September
mm-hmm.
to edit.
And then where did you put that then? Where did you market your product, and which sites did you use to host your work?
Oh, we used Libsyn,
mm-hmm.
and some of that was because the audio drama production podcast talked about Libsyn,
okay.
And
Hooray.
Libsyn was so accessible.
Mm-hmm.
It also was because Libsyn makes themselves very, very accessible with all the tutorials and all of the, you know, in their yeah. own podcast and everything. So there was Libsyn I just found that Libsyn was the one that seemed like, hello, welcome, join us. Here is how things work. Super. If you don't understand it, here's another video. And if you don't watch videos, here's a thing that you can read.
Yeah, brilliant.
And yeah, so everything was, so that was one of the tools that we were using. We just had a great experience with Libsyn. The other thing that I liked about it was because we kept trying really hard to do this on as little to no money as possible.
Right.
But then you start having more episodes and you need more space. So yep. You need to buy the more expensive package on Libsyn, which meant that we could see more detail in terms of where our downloads were coming from.
Mm, yeah. Are you obsessed with that? Did you become ridiculously insanely interested in who was learning from where? So come on, give us the lowdown. Yes. So what did you find out?
So it's like one day. So it's like, okay, so we've never been, I am one of those podcasters where I have to go, if today was not a zero download day, it's a good day.
Okay.
And I mean, we've never been a podcast that like burst the seams, okay. but when we get a lot, like we have a bit of a following in England.
Mm-hmm. Hurrah.
It's like with the English, yes. The English speaking countries tend to be consistently the ones where we get hits. And then one day we had a burst in Germany.
Cool.
And I was like, well, okay.
That's Kessie. And then Kessie and friends, that is.
Oh, okay. Then maybe it is. Then we had, well, it was before I knew Kessie.
Okay.
So it was before Kessie and I sort of got introduced. And then there was another one. The another day that we had a burst in the Ukraine and we had a burst in China, which was really odd.
Awesome.
Like I was really? Yeah. Who's listening to this in China? Because we're not very nice about China in this show.
Okay.
So there's the idea is that the corporation is part owned by Chinese interests.
Yes. 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 Yes.
So we were kind of sitting here going like, oh, we have a following in China. What's up with that? And then what happened was after the season closed, and things sort of died down a bit in terms of the downloads. I said, you know what? We're not adding any more episodes right now while I'm writing the next season. So let's get the less expensive package.
Mm.
So we don't see our geographic reach right now. But being able to see your geographic reach is a big deal. Because even if your numbers aren't big, the breadth of your, you know, the width of your reach is very inspiring.
Fascinating, isn't it? And motivating to dare do more because they're there and hopefully will spread that word.
Yeah. Yeah. And just imagining these people who are like, you know, they're riding their bikes or they're sitting at home or whatever. And you're like, oh my gosh, you're all the way around the world.
Yeah.
But amazing. Yeah, that's wonderful. I love that. So that was Libsyn. We used WordPress for our website just because I had good experience with that.
Okay.
And I've had good experience with WordPress and I still like it, but I think I'm going to change the look of our website just because I want people to be able to subscribe right away. I don't want them to have to, you know, look through several posts. I want it. We're going to get a new theme or something.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. I think the fewer navigational clicks people have to make when they get to a podcaster's website in order to hear actual content or know what the story is about.
Yeah.
Like that about so link needs to be like dead center.
Yeah.
So.
I totally agree. I'm very lazy, as like most of the world is. I think you expect it to just, you want to listen. I'm ready. I'm going to find you. Mm-hmm. And now you're making it difficult for me because I have to go through three pages to find the right place to press listen. Mm-hmm. Brilliant advice there. Yeah, yeah. Good, good.
Oh, yeah. Well, another thing I think podcasters need is they need their website to be clear on mobile devices too, because since so many people listen on mobile devices, and maybe you find out about it via your mobile device anyway, you need to be able to do two clicks and subscribe.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So how much interaction do you get from your listening audience? Do they interact with you quite well, or do you feel that that's kind of something you would like to do more of?
I would definitely love more of it. We have a Twitter account, which is just Yarn Socks Arising.
Mm-hmm.
And playing with that Twitter account, the idea is that Yarn Socks has got, she's in her bottle and she's got a mild Wi-Fi connection.
Okay.
And so she can listen to Creepy and she can listen to Hadron Gospel Hour and she can listen to different radio stations and things like that. and she can interact and she can use Twitter.
Yep.
So, but she doesn't quite understand everything.
Right.
So every now and then, so she needs an explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Like she knows about coffee.
Okay. I feel like I have an affinity with this lady.
Yeah. Like she knows about coffee and she's aware that it has something to do with your identity
mm-hmm.
and that it's a strengthening thing.
Uh-huh.
But she hasn't had it yet.
Okay.
And she's, she likes to pick on other people. You know, sometimes if other podcasters, you know, will poke at her, she'll poke at them back, you know, uh-huh. or if they post something, she'll tell them what she thinks of it.
Okay.
You know, she has a good time with, you know, but she's also very excited because she's so isolated in that bottle.
Mm-hmm.
She gets very excited about the natural world.
Yeah.
So she likes to tweet about things like what she likes to tweet about wild animals and wild places and the northern lights and what she remembers of Jotunheim and things like that. So that's something that we have a lot of fun with is Yarn Socks's Twitter feed. And we get some responses with that. We play back and forth with other podcasters and with Yarn Socks's friends.
Yep.
And then we've got our Facebook page is kind of eh. We have a few reviews. I would love to get more reviews, and I don't know how to incentivize reviews. I feel like I can't incentivize reviews until I've written the next season.
Okay. Yeah. Because I think that is key to getting more listeners, isn't it? So if people can mm-hmm. be kind enough to leave that review if they've, you know, mm-hmm. enjoyed it, that would hopefully incite more mm-hmm. people to listen as well. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is something you tell me what you think about this, because mm-hmm. I've seen things where like YouTubers will be like, okay, well, if you know, the 50th person to hit like on this video gets a free t-shirt
uh-huh.
or something like that. Uh-huh. And I don't know how to feel about those kind of incentives and stuff like that, because I'm kind of like, no, shouldn't they just like you? You know, why do I have to give you, is that a bribe? Mm-hmm. Is that wrong? Right. If I give you merchandise,
yeah.
is that, you know...
I don't know. I would be quite excited to get a signed sock from Rich Wentworth or a...
Oh, yeah.
Or I don't know.
Well, he did. Okay, see, this is funny because I'm having...
With
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love that.
I'd be quite happy.
I would love that. I'd be very happy about that. Just for writing a good review, I'd be so happy about that.
Yeah.
I'm having so much fun chatting with you right now that I keep spinning around in my chair, so I'm not sure how this recording is going to turn out.
I was just going to say, there seems to be some kind of tapping happening, but is it... Is it in my headphones, or is it okay?
It's me.
Okay, so yeah, that is being picked up.
Sorry.
It's a beautiful rhythm, and I was beginning to kind of move along with it.
I'm sitting here just like chit-chatting like I'm on the phone. Meanwhile, I've got my back to the microphone. That doesn't help. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, writers need to write. Do not let writers play with microphones or cords or cables or GarageBand or the record button or any of that stuff, because they will do weird things.
Tie them to a typewriter with no electricity and let them get on. And maybe feed them and give them a Quivit now and then.
Yes.
Yes, I think it's a marvelous plan.
Yes. Oh, I enjoyed the most recent one about script tools so much.
Oh yes, good. Awesome.
I love that. I'm new to Scrivener.
Okay.
I have never used Celtics.
Oh.
I use Final Draft, but it didn't work for me for podcasting. But when I wrote, I created one of those weird Word documents that I was just like, well, it works for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, but now I'm sold on Scrivener right now. Anyway,
isn't it fun? Yeah, I've been using that for my writing. And why do you love that? How's that changed your writing?
Well, actually this goes back to me in grad school writing, and basically Scrivener solved a problem for me. And that problem is, and it's like you said before, the cards. That awesome thing with the cards and the board. And I was one of those people that always said, no, you don't need to use cards because you don't need to rearrange scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your plot has causality and everything sort of follows itself, then you don't need to move scenes around. Mm-hmm. And I was such a snob about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned more yeah. about writing. And then I started writing podcasts. And now I know that having cards is good. So what I have in my process, I have, and what I finally ended up doing was ripping pages out of the sketchbook and writing each scene in two sentences.
Wow.
On each one. And it was literally just like blank wants blank in order to blank, but yeah. comes up against blank and ends up blank.
Mm-hmm.
Like write that on each, rip it, write it down, rip it out. And then I just put them on the bed and rearrange them.
Yep,
and super. That was my like temporary whiteboard for yeah. like 5 minutes. Yeah. And then if I move too much, there would be a breeze and they go flying and then I have to
don't
put them
sneeze.
All back.
Don't sneeze. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't sneeze is right.
No dancing on the bed.
Yeah.
No.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yep. No. Can't sit down. You have to just stand there and look at it. So yeah, that was my thing. But with Scrivener, I like being able to move scenes around because mm-hmm. the other thing too is that when you have the freedom of a podcast is that you can follow multiple character threads.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can have, yes. meanwhile, back at the farm, and here's the story about the cow. Meanwhile, yeah. back at the bar, here's the story about the horse who's a bartender. And then when you want to try to get the horse and the cow in the same place, that's when maybe you do need to move scenes around.
Yep. That bartender's going to make some fun milkshake or something. Mm-hmm. I just can't wait to hear. But, yeah, mm-hmm. but no, absolutely, you're right. And I think that is key, isn't it? That your listeners also are used mm-hmm. to that frame of storytelling now as well. So it's not yep. going to be jarring or a shock.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Good. But then you need new tools too. You know, mm-hmm. well, I mean, you always want to level up.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, so. Yes. Yes, yeah, so you saying about podcasts, you seem to be quite knowledgeable. You're an avid listener to podcasts before you
yeah,
started.
Yeah, I loved podcasts back when, once upon a time, back in the day, it used to be the podcasts were on iTunes along with music, so you could make playlists
yes.
of mm-hmm. podcast episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would listen to them while I'd be out walking my dog. So I was, my gateway drug was the Bugle, mm-hmm. Which was, it's Andy Saltzman, and back in the day it was John Oliver.
Right.
And also, and that was my preferred source for world news, mm-hmm. God bless their souls. And then I also loved Wireless Nights with Jarvis Cocker.
Yeah.
It's such a magic blend of sound design, sound collage,
mm-hmm.
and the whimsy and the dream and the, you know, and his compelling voice too.
Yes, experimental, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And then I got sucked into We're Alive. And
yeah.
then I got to the point where I was like, well, I've got to find something. I need more story. I need more story. Mm-hmm. I need more story because I'm a knitter. Yes. So I really like having, are you a knitter?
Do you know what? I'm really not. I can just about do a few stitches if I have to.
Well, podcasts pair very, very well with knitting.
Yep.
And it's a nice thing. It's nice because the knitting uses up sort of this weird busy part of your brain and the podcast, you know, uses up another part of your brain.
Fit together,
you get
yeah.
this, yeah. You get this lovely symbiotic. Brain activity experience that you don't get from watching television or reading a book.
So that's where you need to put all your merchandising yeah. and things is to knitting circles, everybody. So you've heard
yes.
it here first.
Yes.
Get online,
absolutely.
Find your local knitting circles and make them yes. listen to your podcast.
Yes, exactly. Well, I think next time around, one of the things I want to do is I want to create like a Huron Socks Arising knitting pattern.
Oh, do it. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I might even have a go. You never know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I'll show you. But then there was, I'm trying to think of other podcasts. Oh, we were really into Judge John Hodgman.
Uh-huh.
But I wanted to, I wanted to make a podcast and I wanted to do something with Yarn Socks Arising. And then it was, well, let's make this a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And Vince was, my husband was so into it because what's lovely for us is that all the things that I'm good at and all the things that he's good at mm-hmm. are different, but they complement each other.
Yep. Yep. Sounds
yeah.
similar in my
yeah.
world.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you totally get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Chalk yeah. and cheese, but have a
yeah.
laugh. Yeah.
Yes.
All good fun.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So what does he do? So he implements the sound, doesn't he, in the techie side of your
yes.
world then, is that right?
He yeah. does all yeah. the sound design and he does all the he writes all the music.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were also some things that you know, like, for example, he ended up playing Thrym, the king of Jotunheim.
Uh-huh.
Because what happened was the Thrym was originally like a full speaking role.
Uh-huh.
And the scene was terrible because we had two big brawny men in it. We had Thor,
mm-hmm.
and we had Thrym, who yep. basically sounded exactly the same. They were just big brawny men talking smack to each other.
Exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it gets really old. Wah, wah. And then, then we had this wonderful opportunity with Delta Ray Giordano, who did the voice of Vala, the soothsayer.
Yep.
And I thought, well, what if she's his mouthpiece? Like, Thrym is so disdainful that he won't speak, and she's his mouthpiece.
Good plan.
And we did all this, and I did a whole bunch of research, and there was this whole thing about most of the Old Norse poetry was written by women.
Uh-huh.
And they were called a vulva, spelled V-O-L-V-A.
Lovely.
Which I feel very comfortable using in writing, but in audio it starts to get like, how many times is she going to say that? And it reaches a 12-year-old, she said vulva.
Yeah, totally.
But, yeah, so it was. So we changed her name to Vala,
mm-hmm.
and because that was another alternate translation on it, and yeah. Because people would have these soothsayers, these women who would, you know, sit over fires with herbs on them and sort of snuff up all the smoke and then tell the king what to do,
yeah.
and who to raid and so on. So then what happened was all I wrote in the script, every time Thrym spoke, I wrote Wookiee noise. And we're like, yeah, we'll fix it in post. And in the reading, I read it. So every time Thrym talked, I was the one who was going.
I was going to say, can you do it? Come on, do your best.
Oh, I'm trying to think. It was, you know, and stuff like that. And then finally Vince did it. And what he did was he made up his own lines doing a Wookiee voice and then processed and overprocessed and overprocessed them until it became this animal.
Super.
Guttural voice, yeah. But he and I, we also did things like when there were some times that we got a little bit too method. Like we were like, we really want to get the right sound.
Yeah.
So there was one day that because we needed to make it sound like somebody was being hit in the face with an ocean wave.
Wow. Okay.
So we were pouring.
That hurts.
So what we were doing was we were taking buckets of water and throwing them in the bathtub repeatedly. And it wasn't the right sound. So then we had to put towels in the bathtub and throw water at it repeatedly so that it sounded like it was hitting a person.
Yes.
And then, you know, so we had all these, or we have other ones like, I mean, like, again, like I said, Jørn Saxe lives in a witch bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a witch bottle is I'll do my own spoilers here because it's in the first episode anyway. It's a ceramic bottle with nails and pins and urine in it, and it's nice. Meant to trap a witch.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did was we've got this big ceramic sort of jug and we're dropping bobby pins and nails and bolts yeah. and stuff in it, and then pouring water in there and swishing it around and all this stuff. But the one where we really got out of control was Karin was saying to the actress playing her in socks, as she was saying to her, can you hold some water in your mouth and make it sound like you're drowning?
Uh-huh.
And she's like, oh yeah, sure, I can do that. And I'm like, oh, she's such a trooper. Okay. So she's standing here pouring with her head back, pouring water into her own mouth and making sounds.
Yeah.
And then she started to choke.
Nice.
Genuinely choke.
No.
And all of us just, you know, I mean, fortunately, we all made
motion.
Yeah, it was, we all had heart attacks and then turned out she was fine. But yeah. So.
Oh, see, for your art, you need to suffer. It's obviously you're doing it the right way because that's the saying, isn't it? It sounds like a great fun doing all that Foley then. I think,
oh, yeah.
Actually,
here's a fun tip. I don't know if anybody else has discovered this, and I would love to know if anybody else has ever used this.
Hmm.
So, because we have a lot of physical fighting in ours.
Yes.
And the thing is, the way your own voice sounds when you're under duress, physical duress, is different than it does if you're just plain angry.
Yeah, I've only had a few fights, but yeah.
Yeah, what we had to do was have somebody, like, for example, I stood behind the actress playing Jørn Saxe, put my arms under her armpits, and then bent my hands back toward myself, and then just rooted my feet really hard. Mm. So her arms are trapped, so she's not hurt, but she's stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And then told her to fight her way forward as hard as she can while she's talking. Mm-hmm. So nobody's hurting her, but she's slightly restrained.
Yep.
And that's going to make an effect on her lungs and her, and her vocal cords and her feelings and her, you know, her blood pressure and stuff. So we're all holding each other down while we're shouting in this hotel room. This is getting weirder and weirder. Podcasting is weird, and that's why we love it.
Love it more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. More weird stuff.
Yes. Daily. No, it sounds brilliant. And funding wise, you mentioned very briefly earlier that you were trying to do that. So how have you financed this project?
We had an Indiegogo campaign,
mm-hmm.
which we went with an Indiegogo campaign instead of Kickstarter. And I think Patreon was so new at the time that we weren't ready to go down that route.
Mm-hmm.
We estimated our budget at about $3,000.
Okay.
We were funded at about $1,000.
Uh-huh.
And I'm being completely transparent about that because if anybody Googled Yarn Socks Are Rising, I think the second hit that comes up is our Indiegogo campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think of this as a failure. I think it's actually a great success because it's $1,000 more than we had going in.
For sure, yes.
And it also showed how much people, you know, cared about the show.
Yes.
So, brilliant. You know, people were really into it. The benefits that we offered, though, were things that were very intangible, like we'll mention you on our website, we'll mention you in the credits.
Yep.
You know, now I wanted to do things like, oh, I'm going to make these beautiful rune necklaces and mail them out. And that ends up being time that you really should be spending doing your editing or making your website.
Yeah, and knitting.
Knitting. Well, I mean, I would have happily knit, you know, yarn socks and scarves for all of our funders, but
that should be top level.
So we did that, and then I don't know what we want to do to monetize in the future. I mean, I really don't know whether we can just do this on like personal savings and day job money and goodwill, or if we, you know, I really don't know what we can do. So,
okay,
you know, I'll think of something.
Exciting adventures to be continued.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, with that Kickstarter money, did you pay your actors and your directing and crew team?
Which I'm very proud to say that we were able to pay everybody.
Amazing.
We weren't able to pay them as much as I wanted to pay them, but we were able to pay them enough to... Nobody was being punished for making art. Like, you shouldn't...
Apart from the towels...
Like, apart from choking on water and beating each other up, but it's like the I think what it is, it's one thing to use your own savings and not make any money for making art. It's another thing to lose money and lose sleep and lose time and end up actually like hurting yourself to make your art.
No, you're right.
So,
you have to keep healthy. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you got to get something out of it. Mm. And it's you know, it we were able. I'm very proud to say that we were able to, you know, buy everybody lunch, have a party, you know, make sure, and everybody got paid and nobody lost work because of it.
Yeah. Sounds awesome. Nobody I lived near you.
I wish you lived near me too. That would be fun. Well, I need a TARDIS. That's my problem.
Yes. Quickly. So, someone make one. Well, they're sending protons into space, aren't they? So should be a couple of years, I reckon.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And now there's a woman in charge of the TARDIS. It's going to be fine.
Yes, everything's going to be perfect now. We're all ready. I'm ready. I'm so ready. Oh, my gosh.
I'm very excited. But anyway,
I'm
that's
very excited, too.
We mustn't, because I'm sure everyone's cross who is not as happy as we are. But yes, good. We'll talk about that in a moment. Off mic. But yeah, and what are your ambitions for future Jean Saxa?
Well, of course, I want this to be an HBO series. No,
totally.
I do. Yeah. But, okay, if I'm going to sit here and go blue sky thinking, then I would love this to be three seasons on HBO and make tons and tons of money, and then I want it to stop. Because I think that things go on as long as they need to.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah.
Like the show MASH. That it's like, how long was the Korean War actually, and how long did MASH go on? But MASH is wonderful.
Three or four times as long,
But there comes a point where it's like, okay, you know what? You've told the story long, and it's like you're not even telling the story anymore. This is, stories have a beginning, a middle, and an end, or they have five acts or whatever. But eventually, you have to come to that that ripe, satisfying conclusion.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think do a Fawlty Towers on it, as I think. It's like, yeah.
Yep.
Then people miss you and love it more.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then that ends up being your springboard to other work and other collaborations and other projects.
Yeah. And is that your idea for this, that you're going to do other things with the same team?
I would love to. I would absolutely love to. We had there was a little scare at one point where one of our actors moved away from he got a job somewhere else.
Yeah.
And he had to move away. And
these actors, they don't have any consideration for a podcast, do they?
What is their problem? So then, but now he's coming back to Minneapolis, so we can work something out in the future. I am writing a second season right now.
Awesome.
I would I would like to, you know, record and do this again. I think, and everybody's into it. It's just the matter of scheduling and me getting the script done.
Yeah.
I think that when you work with people on one thing, you get to know them a little bit better and everything, then you start thinking about other things that you'd like to do.
Yeah.
And you can go, oh, you know what, let's try this different thing sometime.
Yeah. Super. So, and I think that's great to think like that, you know, because I think I was talking to a producer at the BBC in an interview I did a while back, and he said, yeah, you know, don't just do that one thing, do other things as well that's still got your kind of brand on it. So I know that's exciting to look out for any publicity. And where can we find any reference to you or Jan Saxe-Reiser? Where will people need to look?
You can do a couple of things. I am on Twitter at, here we go, it is This Lindsay with an A, so it's thislindsay. I am also and then also Yarn Socks Arising is on Twitter. So you can go and, you know, say hello to her, and she'll probably say something disdainful back or something like that. Or she'll offer to, you know, destroy your enemies. Then
of course,
there's also, and then there's also, we have a website, which is yarnsocksarising.com. We are on iTunes. We are on all the usual podcast things, except for some reason, I cannot get Google Play to play fair with me. I cannot get Google Play to work.
I think it's they don't like the Norse gods on Google Play. I think that's what it is.
They've got their own pantheon in California.
American gods.
That's it. American gods. Well, anyway.
Yes, so, that's another story.
Yeah. That's another story. Yep.
Well, we'll put all of these links and other things that we've mentioned onto our show notes. But I just say thank you so much for giving up some of your time to speak about your fabulous podcast. And
if you haven't
heard it, please jump in and do have a listen. Hopefully hear more in the next short while as to what happened next. So thank you so much, Lindsay. Have fun. Happy writing.
You.
Now tie us up to that little PC and get on.
Oh, you're darn right. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks so much to the brilliant Lindsay Harris-Friel for that interview. That was really interesting and lots of fun. And, of course, a good point there that handicrafts do go very well with audio drama. So do find your local knitting group or perhaps a crochet group. You can get hooked on audio drama. It's not the same without you, Sarah. Anyway, we'll be back together again at September's London Podcast Festival. If you are listening live now, and it is September 1917, looks like there's an end to the war in sight. So do join us in another 100 years in 2017 for the podcast festival. At 4 o'clock, on Saturday the 16th of September in the Wenlock Room, there is going to be a panel on making audio drama. Felix Trench from the brilliant Wooden Overcoats is going to be chairing it. And on the panel is going to be Liz Campbell, the production manager of Wooden Overcoats, Alex Lynch from the All Glory podcast and BBC Radio 4's Expenses Only, and Sarah and I will also be there representing the Audio Drama Production podcast. So if you want to come along, places are limited, so do have a look online and get your tickets quickly. And we really look forward to seeing you, we hope. Meanwhile, over to Matthew.
Hello, ADP peers. I've literally never called you that before, have I? I don't know why I'm starting now. It's Matthew here, just interrupting this regular scheduled broadcast to bring you news of a brand new podcast series by thepodcasthost.com. It's called Hostile Worlds, and it's an audio drama space documentary hybrid. I've had a lot of fun putting this together, and you'll also hear me on there, as well as Sarah, as we travel about on a ship called the Tardigrade, exploring the universe. We've had input from people at NASA for this show, so you'll learn loads from it and hopefully enjoy the scripting and the soundscape too. In the first few episodes, we'll be travelling to Saturn's moon, Titan. Just can't seem to stay away from that place, can I? Anyway, I'm going to leave you with a short trailer here and really hope you'll head over to hostileworlds.net to subscribe, and you can hear episode 1, which went out this week too. So thanks very much, and here's the trailer.
Oh, hi Matthew.
Sarah, you're just in time.
Am I? What for?
I've decided we need a trailer.
A trailer? Oh, right, for the ship. Yes, yeah, what were you thinking? Flatbed, lowboy, or extendable?
No, not that kind of trailer. A trailer for the podcast. Hostile Worlds.
Ah, I see.
Here, do you want to do the honours?
Oh, yeah, sure. Exciting.
Dramatic music bed?
Oh, yes, please. Join us on a journey. A journey to some of the most inhospitable, humbling, and frighteningly beautiful places in the known universe. From the towering Martian mountain, Olympus Mons, which stands three times the height of Everest, to the barren, scorched, and suffocating wastes of Venus. From the bottom of Titan's freezing hydrocarbon oceans, to the giant red spot on Jupiter, a storm that's bigger than Earth itself. From the frozen and lonely plains of Pluto, to the apocalyptic blast of an exploding star. Hostile Worlds is a podcast drama-mentary series where you'll learn just how small and insignificant you really are. So come join us on board the Tardigrade, a ship that can float, fly, dive, and dig through any environment in the universe. The Hostile Worlds podcast. Find us at hostileworlds.net. All right, how was that?
Really good, yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, it's not bad.
But?
Well, an exploding star is not really a world, is it, really?
I know, but that's just...
Dramamentary. Really?
I thought that was quite clever. It's like a drama, but it's a documentary.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's just... It's a bit, cringy.
Cringy?
Sorry.
No, it's fine. Did you have any other ideas?
Maybe just something like Hostile Worlds is a podcast that teaches you about all the dangerous yet fascinating places in our universe in a fun and entertaining way.
Okay, that works, I suppose. Then we just need to mention the website.
HostileWorlds.net.
Job done.
Great. See you in episode 1 then.
See you there.